This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Oh, and what a beautiful Tuesday it is. The sun is shining and not too many clouds right now. We probably know because it's June in Florida. Might get rained on this afternoon, but that's all good too. And today we pray that God always rains, and we're going to be praying that God's going to rain through us today, and then Holy Spirit's going to move in a powerful way. We have a tremendous topic for you today. But before I introduce that briefly, I must introduce my co-host today, and starting with Keith, my Keith Masters, bro, good to see you.
Good to see you, David. Good morning.
It is a good morning. And down at the end of the table is Lance Winkler.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Man, I'm great, brother. Glad you're recovering from your gravitational moment the other day.
Oh, great. He just told the whole world.
Yeah. That was...
Went over the handlebars of my bike.
Yeah, man, I've done that.
And that was not much fun. But recovering...
Well, I'm glad to see, you know, it could have been a lot worse, so we give God glory.
It's good I've got a face for radio with this eye.
Oh, don't we all? Anyway, and then Ann Lumhoko, good morning,
Ann. Good morning. David, next time I walk in, if I have an injury, I don't want you to tell the whole world about it, okay? But I want to say this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I want to welcome your friend Carrie. Carrie is here to just be with us.
And I was going to mention her, and she probably didn't know I was going to do that. But this is one of my best friends, I would say. She is a sister in Christ.
Amen.
And her name is Carrie Long, and she's just going to be sitting in the studio today, just observing and listening. Lord leads her to say anything, because she is an advocate for the fight against abortion, and just in general, that's a topic we're going to be talking about, not the main topic, but she has a lot to contribute. But I didn't bring her in for that reason.
No, I understand that. And just welcome, Carrie. Glad to have you with us. You're part of the family now. You'll be getting a donation letter in the mail.
Amen.
Or save us a stamp. You can pick it up on your way out.
David.
No, just kidding. Just kidding. We do have a lot of fun here. So, and I suspect, Carrie, you'll be back with us at some point on a mic because you have things to say for the Lord. Today, and I'm going to really briefly just tell you that what's been in the news, and I think it's a wonderful thing, is Faith and Family Month in Florida. Governor DeSantis brought that forward, but he didn't do it alone. And certainly we're going to be hearing from someone today right soon who was very responsible for getting that before the governor and getting all the balls rolling for that to happen. And Keith knows this person. So, Keith, would you please introduce our guest on the phone today?
Yeah, thank you, David. We're very blessed to have with us today Ingrid Ford, who is the president of Faith and Family Advocates. And she is a former regional director, field director, for the no on the number 4 amendment.
Hallelujah. Great work.
And yes. And so Ingrid, without further ado, how are you?
I'm well, Keith. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor, and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And Ingrid, you're here today to share with us, Governor DeSantis just signed a proclamation stating June is Faith and Family Month, and you are the president of Faith and Family. So if you could give us a little background on how that all got rolling and share with us and the audience. Thanks.
Yes, Keith. Thank you. So, yes, we want to first give honor, all honor and glory to God.
Amen.
For it is he who lives, Christ who lives in us, and it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. So I want to give honor and glory to God, and I want to give thanks and gratitude to our governor, Ron DeSantis, and we just pray a blessing over him. Amen. And his family, and he's been one of the most definitely the strongest governor we've ever had on faith, family, and the protection of children. So we honor him for that. And I also want to honor I want to honor Pastor Daniel Bernard. He's out of Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay, Florida. He's been with the Proclamation for a year now. They've been working with a team, a coalition of pastors, mayors across the state of Florida on the Proclamation. So I want to honor all the coalition and specifically Daniel Bernard, you know, who brought the Proclamation to my attention, and have after praying over it, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to submit it, because the Lord wants this to come from the highest offices of the land, where families are celebrated and where faith in Jesus Christ is celebrated. So that's what happened, Keith. It was brought to my attention. I prayed over it, felt led that more the governor and other leaders across the nation needed to acknowledge and recognize this fact.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. So so through that, Ingrid, you were originally, and I mentioned before, that you were the former regional field director for the no on the number four amendment, which is the pro-life amendment for choice. I don't remember exactly how
it was. Amendment that wanted to make abortion legal up to the ninth month,
right,
in Florida.
Okay.
And then she was the regional director.
Yeah, so, and you were a force for that vote being passed. Thank you so much. So how did you get involved with the Faith in the Family Foundation and brought it to Governor DeSantis to get signed in the state of Florida?
Yes, so I got involved through Pastor Daniel Bernard from Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay, Florida. They approached me with the proclamation because they've seen many of my previous work, not just with the Amendment 4, but I've been lobbying for the Kingdom of Jesus Christ for over 12 years. And like Moses, who was the first lobbyist that we see in the Bible, you know, who took the word of God to kings. Many of us are being raised up to shine light on the darkness and taking the word of God back to kings and rulers and those in authority over our nation, because it is written, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We can't have a great nation without God, because in Genesis, it was God who created man in his own image in the first place. He created us to reproduce, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, and have dominion over the earth. And so that's our call. That's our mandate. And I'm just grateful to be a part of the hands and feet of Jesus, to get in his word into high places so that his kingdom will come and his will over our state and America will be done in the name of Jesus. So having prayed over, the proclamation, I got to start working and setting up an appointment with the governor's faith office there in Tallahassee for us to be able to present the proclamation to the governor to acknowledge it. And it was a long process. We did get in, took a team of over 25 pastors from all across the state. Pastor Daniel Bernard from Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay, and several other pastors from across the state came and stood. We presented it And the process is a three-step process, but took approximately 3 months. And we are grateful to the governor for signing the proclamation. And if you don't mind, Keith, I would like to read the proclamation so that the audience is clear on what the proclamation says. But before I read it, I want to also talk about why we chose the month of June for this proclamation.
Of course. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So June, we chose specifically for faith and family because June has always celebrated on the 21st Father's Day, also on June 14th, National Children's Day was celebrated. And we also have several other states that celebrate, five other states that recognize faith and family during the month of June. And so Florida recently had designated June for Fatherhood Month. In the state of Indiana and Tennessee, they had designated June as Nuclear Family Month. Utah and Arkansas followed with Fidelity Month, and Alabama, Strong Families Month. Families are the backbone of any society, community, or churches, businesses, the state, you know, could not exist without families. So we chose June because it was already celebrating these Father's Day and National Children's Day. And so we thought that we would include all the family, grandparents alike, aunts, uncles, all the families, because it's strong families that create strong communities.
Amen. Amen. And it would seem to me, Ingrid, that, you know, looking at just this entire, our entire nation and where the family has been under attack for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's demonic. Let's just cut to the chase. And I'm delighted to see that at the state level, that leadership at the state level is willing to make a firm proclamation of the value of the family. And so I'm delighted Governor DeSantis, you know, got on that bandwagon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're definitely grateful to the governor for signing this faith and family proclamation, having the entire state of Florida, you know, join in to celebrate. So I just want to go ahead now and read. It says, Ron DeSantis, Governor, Faith and Family Month in Florida. And it says, whereas faith is a foundational element that provides strength, hope, and moral guidance, shaping values of compassion, service, responsibility, and unity within our communities. The Christian faith has played a vital role in constructing our constitution, laws, and ideals. And whereas the biblical family unit became the initial God-ordained earthly institution, providing the model for a thriving society, fostering the emotional, social, and spiritual development of individuals, and serving as a cornerstone for building strong, resilient, and thriving communities. And whereas fatherhood plays an influential and irreplaceable role within families, significantly impacting the emotional, spiritual, and social well-being of children and future generations through love, wisdom, protection, and guidance. And whereas the objective of faith, family, and fatherhood initiatives during the month of June is to encourage churches, faith-based organizations, businesses, and community partners to support families by creating events and opportunities that educate, inform, and strengthen relationships among husbands and wives, parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren. And whereas community-wide efforts such as service days, youth focused events, educational gatherings, and family-centered activities promote strong relationships, responsible parenting, and healthy homes. And whereas families who actively practice their faith and spend meaningful time together are shown to be less likely to experience abuse, addiction, fatherlessness, or family instability, and are more likely to contribute to safer, stronger, and more productive communities. Now, therefore, I, Ron DeSantis, governor of the state of Florida, do hereby proclaim the month of June 2026 as Faith and Family Month in Florida, and encourage all residents, churches, organizations, and businesses to honor and celebrate these foundational pillars, express appreciation to fathers and father figures, support family unity, and participate in activities that strengthen families and enrich our communities. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Sure.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Thank you. Thank you for reading that.
Ingrid, this is Ann, and I had the pleasure of meeting you last year. But imagine the highest authority governmental-wise in our land that reads that. Imagine what that does in the spiritual and that how that resonates in the natural. I just felt the Holy Spirit as you're reading this because it's truth embedded in these words, and these words are resonating all across the state. And you said it's also a model to different states. So I just want to give glory to God, and I want to say thank you for obeying Holy Spirit and doing what you did. And for everyone who was involved, Pastor Daniel Bernard, the team of 25 pastors, this is wonderful. So praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We become what we celebrate.
That's so
amen.
True.
Amen.
We've been prodigals, you know, for a long time, turning the family away from God, and I think it's time. You know, nothing happens before the time. This is the first proclamation, one of the first proclamation of its kind in the history of the state of Florida, but it's a returning. It's a returning back to the original intent that God has for us, where we celebrate faith in Jesus Christ and families. And strong families. And so we want to pray, you know, that with this proclamation, not only will there be great celebration, you know, of fatherhood, of families, you know, of those grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, all the families that didn't have a day, because we do have Mother's Day, we do have Father's Day, but we neglected to include some of the other extended family members, so in-laws and so on. Everybody can now come together and celebrate their faith and family in this month, but in honoring God, that is where we're going. It's a return. Mm-hmm. We had a rededication of the nation itself weeks ago, of the nation back to God. Florida is the same. Florida is choosing God. We're choosing to rededicate a month for faith in God and to celebrate our families. And we want to pray over every prodigal, you know, to be included in this celebration, that we will not just come back as families together in the natural, but we will come back as the family of God in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we ask for your protection and mercy over our prodigals until they return home. Mm. We read Psalm 91, verse 4, over every prodigal today. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust and take your refuge. And we ask you, Lord, to draw all prodigals from the east, west, north, and south, all prodigal families back to you, in the name of Jesus, for as it is written in Luke 15:20, when he was yet a great way off, referring to the prodigal son, his father saw him and had compassion. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
It is written that your mercy, no matter how far our families have wandered away from their parents and away from you, Lord, we thank you that according to Psalms 136, that your mercy endures forever. You love us no matter what. It is written in your word. Where can we go? Where can prodigals go? Where can people stray without no place? If they dwell in hell, you're there. If they dwell in the uttermost part of the earth, you are there. And we pray Malachi 4, verse 6, turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers during this month in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you. That's powerful. You know, and I have to say, a lot of my Christian peers, if that's a way of putting it, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get together and we know America's wandered far away from the Lord, but we also know many of us have been praying for decades, literally, and some even more recently, but that, and I've just to say, do you perceive God is that we're beginning to see the answers to the prayers that believers have been offering for quite a while concerning the restoration of America back to God? Do you Amen. Really see that?
Amen. I agree 100%. And just the fact that the nation itself was rededicated back to God of a few months ago is a sign that prayers are being answered. Mm. And the fact that five other states have also recognized, the need for families to come back together to each other. That's where the family comes in. But the faith part of it is to come back to our faith, which was the original intent mm-hmm. of God himself. And even the founding fathers drew up a constitution that recognized our creator and recognized, you know, that we are a part of his family and all our rights that we enjoy, all our privilege. The Bible says every good gift comes from God. The wealth that America has, it's because it is he, God, who gives us the power to get that wealth. And so we cannot continue as a state or as a nation to enjoy the privilege and the gifts from God and not acknowledge him and put our faith in him.
Hallelujah. That is true. Amen. That is fundamental truth. And we need to grab a hold of that and pray that our brothers and sisters do. What do you see? Where is God taking you? And we have a few minutes before the break, and God has used you in a powerful way for faith and family. Where do you go from here? What's next on God's list for you to do?
Oh boy! I pretty much wait for my command and instructions, and then I go. Mm-hmm. You know, I am right here in Broward County, for example. A few years ago, well, in 2024, a group of atheists and Satanists tried to remove the Bible from Broward County public school libraries. And the Holy Spirit woke me up. I found out the day before in the afternoon, maybe 2-3 o'clock, Holy Spirit woke me up and told me, you know, you have to go and stand to protect the word of God in the schools. Broward County is the sixth largest school district in the nation with over a quarter million children. And we could not have the Bible remove the word of God, which is the truth, from a quarter million children. And so I called, just like I did, gather the body of Christ, faith leaders, pastors, and we went to Broward County School Board. Holy Spirit directed me stand around the building and pray, hold hands, form a unity as we stood there. And I instructed everybody based on the Holy Spirit, take your Bible with you. And we stood there and to God be the glory, when the vote was done, Broward County School Board determined that the Bible will remain in Broward County.
Amen. Amen.
And the Lord had me to submit a proclamation 4 years ago to reintroduce prayer, the National Day of Prayer, back into the school system in Broward County. And I submitted the proclamation. Everybody says it would not happen. You know, prayer would not, you know, we would not have prayer back in school. They're not going to pass it. But glory be to God. The proclamation, that proclamation was also passed. And Broward County, 4 years later, so this, you know, is still recognizing the National Day of Prayer. Every year on the National Day of Prayer, in May, 250,000 students gather around flagpoles to pray.
Amen.
Wow.
So we give all the honor and glory to God. It is not an I, but Christ who lives in me. And all of us are called to, one, go and preach the gospel, and two, subdue the culture, have yes. dominion, according to Genesis
yes.
1, verse 28. We have been called, placed here for a purpose, for such a time as this, to subdue, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It is us.
Amen.
The body of Christ and the ecclesia, who the power and authority and dominion has been given. The Bible says that the government is on the shoulder of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as Jesus was, so are we in this world.
Amen.
And it's our time. It's our time to take our dominion and use what God has given us to honor him, to turn the family back to him. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And when the righteous, when we have righteous rule, the people rejoice. But the Bible says when we have wicked rulership, and it's the laws that rule us. So it's critical that we have, you know, these godly proclamations, because the opposite, you know, it's not good. When the righteous, when we have righteousness and rule, the people rejoice. But when there's not, the opposite happens. People mourn. So we just want to encourage all pastors, all churches, leaders, organizations, residents, businesses to come join us and celebrate in June, celebrating your faith in Jesus Christ. And celebrating your family that God has given us.
Amen. 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 Ingrid, thank you so much. We're coming in on break time now near the bottom of the hour. I just want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for being faithful, saying yes to God every day. And I want to thank the Lord for choosing you to do the specific things
Amen.
That you're doing in the power of the Spirit. And my prayer is that God will raise up more people to do that very same thing. So, number one, you won't be alone. Remember what happened to
Amen.
Moses, right?
Yeah.
God raised up others to help him, but and what you're doing, it needs to be replicated. So we definitely will be adding that to our prayer list. And I also want to promise you, I'll be getting back with you off the air at some point, not today, but get you up here. Get you up here for our Monday program and give you a whole hour to talk about what God's doing in and through you. How would that
Amen.
Sound?
Amen. It's my absolute honor to be with you today. To God be all the glory.
Amen.
And we just honor and thank and praise him, and we give thanks to our great governor in the free state of Florida.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's take that break, I promise. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Okay.
And welcome back to A Biblical Response. And well, that was a great half hour of the program. Again, thanks to Ingrid Ford. God has really put her in the middle of a lot of Holy Spirit activity, and it's bearing fruit. Yeah. And so,
can we take like a couple of minutes to just kind of debrief?
Because yeah, why don't you lead us in that?
I'll tell
you, I didn't want to interrupt her. Yeah. I mean, I wanted her to,
she can talk
this whole hour. As a musician, she was music to my ears. You said you've been praying for a decade. I've been praying for decades. And to hear somebody articulate what I've been praying for and saying, hey, God's calling me to do this out here. I am. Yes. I mean, I feel humbled by who and what she's doing. You know, I thought, though, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God says, God will raise up a standard.
Yes.
And
yes,
I could hear her talking about that. Oh, when I hear that verse, it always reminds me of the guys on Iwo Jima, and they're pushing the flag up, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're standing. And just a person to stand there to touch that flag and to raise it up. And man, she sounds like she's at the base of it, giving it all.
Amen.
You know? And
yes.
I really appreciated that. I did think about the family being the backbone of the culture, of the society. And there is, we have a movement in the United States right now. I'm going to, my soapbox here. Okay. And that movement is socialism. And when you look at Marxist socialism, and we hear it being, I'm a democratic socialist. I'm a socialist running this and running that. Socialism does not believe that families should exist. Karl Marx did not want families. He wanted a community of women, a community of men, and a community of children. Mm-hmm. And the dissolution of the family was what he said had to happen immediately. When Russia became a communist nation, the world, there were a lot of commentators thought they were going to outlaw marriage because it was so much a part of the socialist agenda. And I thought, yeah, the enemy's coming in with this. And this is being presented to the United States as some way. You cannot build a free society on no families.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You cannot.
Yeah.
And so that is the family. Man and a woman in holy matrimony is the image of God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And they're trying to destroy it. And there are people now trying to protect it. And God, that's amazed at.
Yes.
Always. I'm amazed at. I was inspired by her.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You're I just want to say, when I had the honor to meet this woman, I was at an event in West Palm Beach and she had a table. And immediately I could sense her spirit. What I want to say about her is she's a woman wholly, devotedly submitted to the Lord. Mm. And the only reason that she can do the things she does is because of the intimacy that she has with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an intimacy there.
Yeah.
And I want to urge all our listeners to be on our knees and to listen and have that close relationship with Holy Spirit, that you listen and then you move with the orders that he's given you. Like when you asked her, what's your next assignment? What's your next gig? And she's like, well, I'm just waiting for my orders from Holy Spirit. That completely stirred me.
I am jealous for that intimacy. I'm jealous for that relationship.
And that's what we all need to do, because we all, the Holy Spirit has been talking to me, and sometimes you're too busy. You need to just rest. Rest. And we strive for what's next. What can we do in the flesh to strive for what's next? It's not about striving in the flesh. It's about getting on our knees, getting rid of the distraction. Social media is a big distraction. The Lord had to tell me to put Facebook down. Okay. Not forever, but but it was taking up a lot of my evening.
Yes.
And I could not hear voice of Holy Spirit. And she hears the voice because of that intimate relationship. And look how the Lord is using her. And then Carrie Long, who's at the table, who doesn't want to speak. She know, she said that she knows her identity. She knows
who she is
in the Lord. And she knows the dominion that we have, an authority given to us in Genesis, and we have to take territory. So it's beautiful to see somebody live out that mandate that has been given to us.
Amen.
Because a lot of us, a lot of Christians are like, no, let's just stay within the confines of our home or our church. Let's not enter society. Let's not get involved in the seven mountains where we're supposed to take authority. That's a lie from the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And they call it Christian nationalism, which is a stupid term that they dubbed Christian nationalists. We love our nations and we're Christian.
Yeah.
Well, it's a prejudicial statement. And
yes.
It's meant to diminish us. And I would say against that is I'm yeah, you could call me a Christian nationalist. I'm a patriot. That's how I see myself.
Yeah. Call me a Christian nationalist. Yeah. I want to be a Christian nationalist.
Exactly. Hey, but listen, I know, Carrie, you didn't come here to talk, but my,
swing this mic
swing
over.
Swing that mic over.
I want Carrie.
I want to. Carrie Long is a good friend of Ann's, and she's here. And I'm glad you're here. I mean, when Ann told me you were going to be here, my heart leapt in joy because, number one, I always love to have people come and be with us. But I think you also have something to say, and Ann kind of started speaking about what's maybe on your heart.
Carrie, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going to be put on the spot.
No, I don't mean to put, honestly, but this is an opportunity to share your heart.
Yeah, so this is definitely unexpected and way out of my comfort zone. I would just have to say I'm extremely encouraged by her testimony, and I also would love to encourage listeners, including everyone in here, not to overthink how God will use you.
Amen.
We can't compare ourselves to other people. We're his children, and we're called to be unique and walk in the ways that he has called us. And
yes.
And he will use us in our daily lives, you know, and we might not be called to go and do the things that she was called to do, but we are called to just be available in the moments.
Yes.
Try not to get overwhelmed and compare yourself to other people. You know, he loves us all where we are, and he will use you.
Wow. Yes. Always. Oh, that's great. Great wisdom. It's from the Lord, I know. He's told me the same thing. That's why I know it. I'm going to do it as much as I can. I do that as much as I can. Wow, and thank you. And again, I didn't, it just seemed right. Like, I'm doing what the Lord wants here.
This was not an ambush, Carrie.
No, it's not an ambush. We didn't plan this ahead of time. But, I mean, you are an articulate child of God, and you pray. You're a praying person. You're in the Word. And, yes, that's what people gather around this table are, and God uses us. And, by the way, I've never found a time when God didn't get me to do something that it wasn't afraid in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, God loves to drop stuff on us. But the fear melts away when God says, I've got this. You just do what I tell you. You know, you say the words I give you, and that's what you do.
And that actually did happen to me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was put in a situation where he did ask me to go speak to someone in the political world.
Carrie,
right now.
Tell them who it is if you want to, or you don't want to.
Well, I don't know how much people want to know about this.
I think it's worth saying, Carrie. The
governor, or the candidate running for governor, Byron Donalds.
The Lord gave her a word to speak to governor candidate Byron Donalds. Oh,
so this was just, it was totally unexpected. I had no desire to speak to this man. I really, unfortunately, have not been aware of the candidates. I have not been doing my due diligence. And when I was, you know, had the opportunity to be near this candidate.
Your sister had asked you to go to an event.
Right. My sister asked me to go to a meet and greet, an event. And I wasn't expecting this, and just he literally put on my heart that I was just going to go and stand beside him and his wife. And I was like, well, okay, I can do that, you know. So my point in all of this is that he told me in baby steps because he knew how I I operate. Yeah. He knew that I would overthink it and I would panic and I would, like, there's no way I'm doing this, God, you know. And so he worked. So my point in all this is he worked with me.
Yeah.
And it was in the moment. It was unexpected. It was just in my daily life, you know.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what I'd like to encourage people, you know. And of course, I did get to stand next to this man. I had no idea what I was going to say. And as soon as he put his hand out to shake mine, the Holy Spirit gave me a word for him. And I didn't know. It came out of nowhere. So
yeah.
I just, like, tapped him on the shoulder and said, all right, well, let's see what God does. I'm out. You know?
That's beautiful.
But that's how God used you, right? You served him in that moment.
In the moment, yes. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to prepare, you know?
Right. That's why I love that. Caring. I love that. You're right. I overthink things, too.
So we all do.
I do, too. Right.
We do, and we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to other people. We can't do that.
No.
I mean, once we learn our identity and who we are in him, he'll use us.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Carrie. Now, if you come back again, and I hope you will, I won't do unless God says to do it again, which I have to do that.
Amen.
Anyway, shifting back to what our topic of the day particularly.
You know, I'm going to just say something real fast because of what Carrie was just saying.
Sure, sure.
I was having a conversation just the other day with a friend of mine, JW. You guys all know JW.
Hey, JW. Right, shout out
but,
to JW.
Yeah, shout out to JW. But I'm just going to say, JW, how's that for confirmation?
There you go.
JW, how's that for confirmation?
Hallelujah.
Wow, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah, God, I love what God does.
Amen.
You know,
things going on in people's lives.
Courage.
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 You know, David, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I was taking my son back home from a baseball game, and I was going the wrong way. And I was going the wrong way going home. Yeah. We talk about listening to the Holy Spirit. We talk about, you know, trying to listen and pay attention to what God is telling us and be attentive, right?
Yes.
And so the game was over. We were, up by here, as a matter of fact. So we had to go back 50 miles, go south. I started driving north. I was driving north. And it just didn't look right. My GPS is telling me, turn around. Am I listening? No.
I'm a man.
I kept going north.
Yeah.
Right?
You never ask for directions.
The GPS is right there telling me to turn around. And it's telling, take this exit. No, going straight. And all of a sudden, and 10 miles later, I say to my son, I think we're going the wrong way.
It took you 10 miles, Keith.
But the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. I'm trying to talk to you, and you're not listening.
Yeah.
You're going the wrong way. Turn around. And all of a sudden, I had to turn around. We get so engulfed in what we're thinking, and we block what's trying to be said to us sometimes.
Yeah, that's a word, Keith. Yeah, that's a great story.
You know, so, and I was telling my son, just, you know what? Listen, people listen, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think that, you know, that what you just said, Keith, which is kind of coming right off of what Carrie was sharing,
right?
It really points back to one of the things God wants us to do is to listen to what he wants us to do individually, but also as a nation, as a state, whatever, because we are involved in a tremendous restoration move of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's worldwide, but America has to be a part of that.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, to be the nation, I've said this before, but I can't tell you which program you'll listen to it on if you go to On Demand on our website, so I'm going to say it again. And that is, we have got to be listening to the Lord.
Yes.
We have to remember, you know what, folks? It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God.
Yes.
It's always all about God.
Amen.
Yes.
And God has a perfect plan. It's perfect because he's God. He made the plan. He did it once. He doesn't have to rethink it.
Yes.
So what we need to do is to stop. What is that? I love from the psalm. I can't remember the quote, but it's, be still and know that I am God. I can't cite
Psalm
46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Listen, he's repeating that to all of us. I don't care who you are, what you're doing, how important you think you are, is that we need to stop. We need to relax. We need to rest in the Lord. Listen.
Yes.
Be prayerful. Because when you do that, God will tell you what he wants you to do. And believe me, Mm-hmm. It beats everything else you came to from your own wisdom.
We need to remember our position as children in this relationship.
Yes.
We are called to be. You become as a little child, and I will lead you. This is a great radio show today.
And it was Holy Spirit turned because it wasn't originally what we wanted.
Hear this.
Totally different. What do you think? You're the only one?
We were talking about what we were going to talk about, and I had a strategy to. And Keith said on the phone, he says, "Well, what's your strategy?" He said, "Just tell them God says this."
We got to love Keith.
That's right.
And I went, you know, I love that sentiment, and that's what it should be. I am a child, and Dad says, "Come on now, come over here, and I'm going to show you what to do, and I'm going to tell you what to do."
Yeah.
And it's just us submitting and understanding the truth that that is our relationship with Him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're to grow up. Yeah. But we are children.
We're to grow up. Right.
We are to go from the milk to the meat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which Paul says
it's there. Yeah.
But we are children, and when Carrie said, "Don't overthink," that really spoke to me. Because sometimes I'm like, God, is that my voice I'm listening to, or is that your voice?
Yeah.
You get trained when you listen. You have to train and listen, and then you become familiar with the voice of God, and then other voices you won't listen to.
Yeah.
But it's a training process, and we all need to sit before the Lord and just ask Him questions. And whatever comes first is the answer. Sometimes you're like, no, that's Ann Limhoko, but it's the Lord, and I've learned His voice.
Yeah, so, amen. Amen.
I want to hear
God is good.
God is good.
God is good. And God is love. So if you're questioning the voice, God is good.
Yeah.
And God is love.
Yeah.
That's right. Who God is.
He's a good, good father.
He is a good father.
David, I think that the plan that we had for the show may have to go into next week.
It may.
I don't know what you want to do as the producer.
We'll listen to the Spirit.
Yeah.
But, you know, we wouldn't have gotten to this point in the program if Carrie hadn't joined us.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's what you offered
kind of
that got us rolling in this direction. Yeah. But that, too, is Holy Spirit. And I think where we're at right now is it's a good testimony time. Because many of our listeners, and I'm just, confession time here. Is that, you know, I will admit, God is bringing me back into a place in my spiritual life when I'm stopping to listen again, to hear His voice again.
Mm.
There was a season I kind of wandered away from that. I don't know why particularly. It's because of who I am, you know. Every now and then, I have a mind that pinballs. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Ever played a pinball game?
Yeah.
It's low tech, so if you're under the age of 50, you have no idea what that is.
At least you've got a mind.
But I have a mind, yeah, but I let it get somewhat untrained for whatever reason. But I was,
distractions.
And there was a lot of distractions.
The pinball machines.
But now the Lord has gotten, He said, David, you gotta, you need to hear me.
Yeah.
You don't need to hear your ultimate best opinion of what you think. You need to hear me. So I'm in a season of getting back to that be still and know that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that part of this broadcast today is, listener, you're hearing something that God wants you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because He wants you to come back to Him.
He wants to bring every thought. You capture every thought, you know, and it seems like so much. Well, no, I can't capture every thought. But through Him, I can do anything. I can do all things. Right. And the capturing of those thoughts and every idle word will be judged. I think, no.
Yep.
But God says, I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
I can help you with that. And you'll see someday.
We have to partner with Holy Spirit. And each person is created for a calling. There's a calling and there's an assignment for each person. And we have to ask Holy Spirit, why am I on this short time on this earth? When you think about eternity, we're in eternity a lot longer. But, you know, I'm in the process of always looking for a full-time job. The Lord has me in that situation. And I'm like, God, what is your calling for me? I only want to do what you have for me. Okay? I was substitute teaching for a while and I'm on the radio. But He says, I want you to use your mouth, your voice, to speak truth. I know that's how He created me. People who know me know that I'm black and white, that I speak whatever's on my mind, hopefully in a loving way. Sometimes I fail. But that's how Holy Spirit made me. So I'm just encouraging people, every one of us. He's made to be a street evangelist. It's so obvious. He's out there on the streets of Delray Beach, wherever his car will stop, he's talking to whoever's fixing his car, wherever, you know, somebody fixing his something in his house, he'll be evangelizing. We're all created in different ways to fulfill an assignment and a calling.
You what? Dunkin' Donuts yesterday.
You witnessed somebody Duncan, there.
Dunkin' Donuts.
What happened?
No. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. As you said.
But what's, like, you know, what's your calling? I want to say to our listeners, go to the Lord and get on your knees and, God, what is your calling? Why did you create me? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, there are plans that he had for you even before you were formed.
Yes.
And my calling has been, ever since I was 27, I think that's when I got baptized in the Spirit, I want to fulfill the calling he has in my life. That's my innermost, like, thing inside of me. Fulfill the calling he has on my life. And it has to do with my love of government. That's why Carrie and I are close. Mm. We knocked on doors. We didn't know each other that long, but we knocked on doors for Martin County. Now she's a school board member and is running again, Amy Pritchett.
Yes, Amy.
We were knocking on doors, and she hosted a coffee at her house. And the Lord will bring like-minded people around you to fulfill that calling. Carrie and I are called to run together, and there's people that the Lord will call you to run together with.
Yes, yes.
And it's the most fulfilling thing. That's the only thing that will fulfill you, because the Lord has that inside of you, and it needs to be fulfilled. We can go through life and not fulfill our calling, and I don't want to sit before the Lord and not say, good and faithful servant.
Yeah. Parable of the talents.
I don't want to not hear, you were not faithful.
Parable
of
the talents.
Exactly,
good teaching from the Lord, you know. But it's risky. You know, serving the Lord is risky business.
Courage.
It's, you know, you get courage because he wants you to step out from behind. You know, often I'm hiding behind something, right?
Yeah.
Am I hiding behind my history, you know?
You're Gideon. You know?
I'm like, yeah, right. I get it. But no, always to be out there. And, you know, finally at some point you say, okay, Lord, you pursue me relentlessly. I'm just going to give over to you. And, you know, it's a great ride.
Yeah.
I would liken that. I used to, in fact, I should have known that one of the churches I was in that was having very much difficulty in. And I wrote an article for a newsletter. By the way, I love roller coasters. Not the little bitty ones. They make me sick. I mean the big ones.
Oh, wow. You know?
I love those, David. I know, but it's something that's now been released into the atmosphere. But and so I wrote a newsletter for the church on the monthly, or my article, talking about relating the spiritual life to white knuckle roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of writing it, you know, I talked about how the first ride is always a white knuckle ride, even if you've been on them a million times before, because of the way you get in the train. And, you know, no matter where you are, although if you're in the front car, that's even more interesting. But you go up, it goes clack, 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 you know, as it goes up that first hill. You know, and you can hear the clanking sound as the gears are engaging with the chain on the car. And then you get to that first hill, and then the first car crests the hill, you know. And this is like in ministry. God says, I want you to ride this roller coaster today and do what I'm telling you to do. And so, yeah, because you're God, I'm going to do it. But, I'm hanging on. All the metal is getting my fingerprints impressed in it. And you get to the top of that hill, and you begin to see where you're going. And you see the angle at which your car is, you know. And I said, well, maybe I shouldn't be here. God, what am I doing? But then the first car crests the hill. The weight of that car begins to pull the rest of the train down.
Mm.
And then gravity takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going down that hill. And, man, it's wild. And just when you start, and it's thrilling, but it's also frightening. And then you hit that first curve, and at whatever speed, and then you go around that curve really fast, and, you know, you're getting crushed. And, you know, there's no way to fall out, by the way, gravity.
Yeah.
As centrifugal force is a wonderful thing. And you ride, and then you go up, and the steel coasters, you go around corkscrews and around. And then finally you come to the end of the ride, and then you look to your, in this case, my daughter loves this, so we'd look to each other, and we'd say, let's do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you ride several times. But that to me, and so this church I was in, I put it out there. Nobody got it. And then I realized my situation there in that church was a really bad one. And that was the first time God said, you know, maybe you shouldn't be here. Maybe you came on your own. And I didn't call you here. But anyway, so it was a great learning experience. But the spiritual life is like that.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And it needs
it's
to be.
It's a joy ride.
It is a joy ride.
It's a great adventure.
And then when you don't have it, you want it again.
Yeah, yeah.
When you don't have it. And David, in agreement with that, I was on the Velociraptor in Islands of Adventure.
Hallelujah.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you, it's the only time in my life where I wrap my arm completely around the side bar. So not my hands, my arm wrapped completely around the sidebar because it's only got a waist buckle. All right, it's only got a waist bar.
Oh, so no, like
no straps over the shoulders. It's a waist buckle, and I was literally coming out of my seat on the way down. On the way down, I was lifted up, coming out of my seat. And when you talk about what's going on here, but then you wanted to do it all over again.
Amen. So if you're up in Sandusky, Ohio at Cedar Point Park, you can ride the Millennium Force, which is one of the tallest and fastest coasters in the world. And my daughter and I did that before she went to college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 310 feet high. First curve you hit at 94 miles an hour. It's about a 6,500-foot track.
Wow. We should take a live show onto a remote.
We should go live remote at Cedar Point Park. We all experience our spiritual lives.
Yeah, my wife and my son just got back from Islands of Adventure. They were just there for the weekend.
Okay.
And they went with a friend of my son's. So they were just there doing all the rides.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, so they were just, as you're talking about, the roller coaster. So they just had a good time doing that.
And maybe I had to get a group together. We can go to, like, Six Flags or something and do coasters.
Disney.
Yeah. Lance put his hands up. Disney. I don't think he's in.
Disney doesn't have any
This has
coasters.
Taken a turn.
Take us back to the Lord, Lance.
Speaking of turns.
Take us back to the Lord.
We only have about 3.5 minutes.
Underneath you are the everlasting arms.
Amen.
And that's what makes it fun.
Yeah. Yes.
I've always thought about two guys jumping out of an airplane.
Yes.
The difference between it being a terrifying fall and an absolute ecstatic, inspiring view is a parachute.
Well, wait a minute. And you're right. But the Lord told me, and everybody laughs at me, go and get a motorcycle license. Now, I'm 71 years old. I'm 71, all right?
I'm not laughing. I
went and learned how to ride a motorcycle.
Really?
Went and learned how to ride a motorcycle. Went and got my license. Just bought a motorcycle. Just put the plates on the motorcycle. Rode it in town, went to town, and I was going to ride the motorcycle here today, but when I'm on that motorcycle, I have the complete trust in the Lord when I'm on that motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, let me comment on that, Keith, because we started this whole program
with you on
my
bike.
Accident.
I
can't get away. I got a one gear bike, just a little touring bike, and I almost split my head. So I'm staying away from the motorcycle.
He's got a big bandage on his forehead or his head.
And a black eye.
Covering my ears on that.
We all appreciate the gravity of the situation. Well, time's almost up, and I just, this has been a very unique program for us, a good one, especially for spirit moving, and maybe you all listeners got a chuckle or two, as well as learning something. I hope it's our goal anyway. So I'm just going to thank everybody for being here again. We appreciate Ingrid's being with us the first part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely going to have her back here for the front line, which is the Monday program. And again, Carrie, thanks for you being here.
Amen.
You heard God, and you said yes, and here you are, and you became an integral part of the program.
What she was getting herself into.
No, she didn't.
She shifted the whole conversation. Yeah, it was great.
Well, maybe you'd be prayerful about maybe coming and joining us on the Monday program, and you have some stuff to say for the Lord, and I think people need to hear it, so think about it. Anyway, with that, we have exhausted everything. There's like 40 seconds left. Less than that now.
37.
Anyway, let's just do this. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David @abiblicalresponse. Remember,
when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.